Again, it is an honor and a privilege to stand before you and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to welcome all of you back. I want to thank all of you for being here this evening. And especially, I'm so glad to see Brother Jim. And I'm so thankful that you're feeling better enough to come out. And it's always good to see you. And we pray for you each and every time we come together, Brother Jim. And we do in our own homes, I'm sure. This evening, I want to talk to you about the tale of two Sauls. The tale of two Sauls. If you will, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 9, and we'll begin our lesson this evening. That's 1 Samuel chapter 9. Now, while you're turning your Bibles, let me say that the first king of the United Kingdom of the children of Israel was Saul. And we're first introduced to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. We're told that he was a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Now, in addition to his outstanding physical features, Saul early on showed himself to be a man of humble spirit. When Samuel came to him in verse 20 of 1 Samuel 9, "And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house?" Well, Saul answered by saying in verse 21, "I am not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore, when speakest thou so to me?" Now, after being anointed by Samuel and recognized as the king of the people, the early days of Saul's reign, which lasted 40 years, were characterized by triumphs and successes. But it didn't take very long before Saul began to manifest a different spirit altogether. The life of King Saul was summed up rather well by the prophet Samuel upon Saul's return from the slaughter of the Amalekites. Samuel said that rebellion and stubbornness were the sins of Saul, and these were the expressions of his having rejected the word of the Lord. Many times in his life, this once humble man would be guilty of rejecting the word of the Lord. He would be guilty of simply choosing to do things his own way, even when his own way was clearly a violation of God's. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 13. And we'll read the first 14 verses. 1 Samuel 13. "Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in the Mount Bethel, and 1,000 there were with Jonathan in Gibeth of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that were in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, 'Let the Hebrews hear.' And all Israel heard that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gileath. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgad, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, 'Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings.' And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, 'What hast thou done?' And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Now, Saul's climaxing act of rebellion against Jehovah is found in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Turn over there if you would. Now, for this, he would ultimately be dethroned as a king. And so let's see the instructions in verses 1 through 3. Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Now that sounds clear enough to me, doesn't it, you? That sounds pretty clear. But let's look at verses 8 and 9. And they say, And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuge, that they utterly destroyed. Now, what was God's reaction to this? Well, verse 11 says, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now, brethren, I want to read what I consider one of the saddest passages of scriptures that there is, and that's verses 13 through 26 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. It says, And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meanest then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said unto me this night. And he said unto him, Stay on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have destroyed utterly the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should be utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel... And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. Why did all this happen? Why did all of it happen? Because Saul chose to disobey the commandments of the Lord. That's why it happened. Oh, he was still religious. He was still a religious man. They were going to take the very best from the Amalekites and offer it unto Jehovah. But that is not what Jehovah had asked for. That's not what he asked for. Are you listening, my friends? Are you listening? What matters in religion is what the Lord has said and what he has authorized. And that only. Not what we want, no matter how religious and pious we might think it is. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To disobey or simply do what we want to do religiously instead of what the Lord has authorized is to reject God's word and will lead to our being rejected as well. Does this remind you of a passage in the New Testament? Does me. Does this remind you of the warnings that Jesus gave us on the Mount in Matthew the 7th chapter? Matthew chapter 7, let's turn our Bibles and see. This is one of my favorite verses I love to go to. And I wish the world, the entire denominational world, understood Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 through 23, and they would adhere to it. Then there would only be one church. That's the Lord's church. Jesus said in verse 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus here is denouncing doing anything religiously without his authority. Our Lord goes on to say in Luke 16 and verse 15. Let's look at that for a moment. Luke 16 and verse 15. Luke 16, verse 15. And he said to them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men, listen now, is abomination in the sight of God. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Now, Saul's life can be compared to another Saul of the Bible, Saul of Tarsus, later called Paul. First, both of them were of the tribe of Benjamin. Remember Paul's words in Romans 11 and verse 1 when he said, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Both were chosen by Jehovah for a very special work. Saul to be king over Israel and Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles. To Ananias the Lord said, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. That's Acts 9 and verse 15. That was Saul's, what he was to do. Later Paul himself would write in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11, Wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Another point of comparison is how they lived their lives, how their lives were led. Saul was consumed by jealousy towards David in rebellion and against Jehovah by rejecting his word. And Paul's life was spent in pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3 and verse 14. And toward the close of their lives, each evaluated what they had done. Each evaluated what they had done. Look with me at 1 Samuel, if you would. Back to 1 Samuel chapter 26. First Samuel chapter 26 and verse 21, we see a clear and brief statement of Saul's life. His whole life is wrapped up here. The last part of the verse of chapter verse 21 says, "Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." Amen, Saul, you sure did. "Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." Paul's summation of his life work is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And let's look at that. It's a familiar passage to most of us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul wrote in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to die, and he knew, but he wasn't afraid. And he goes on to say in verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Why, Paul? Why did you keep the faith? Because he knew what awaited him, and he tells us what's awaited him in verse 8. He says, "Therefore there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing." Brethren, let me ask you, if your life was to end today, what would be the summarizing statement concerning your service to God? What would be the summarizing statements of your service to God? Would it be, "I have played the fool," or "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness"? My friend, now is the time to obey God and walk by faith in His Word. For some, this means obeying the gospel and becoming a Christian, as seen on the day of Pentecost when Peter told the multitude, after they had crucified the Son of God, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 2 and verse 38. For others, it means repenting of sin and confessing. David said in Psalms 28 and verse 9, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." To ignore God's word and act like His blessings will always be available to the sinner is to believe a lie. Jesus gave us the insight into the condition of those in torment to convince us to repent, brethren. He wants us to know that He will render it to each one according to his deeds on the day of judgment, which will result in eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. That's the ones that are good. He goes on to say, "But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil." That ought to scare us to death. That ought to give us hope, and it should scare us to death too. So instead of living in a way that will leave us begging for a drop of water in eternity, why not make the choice that leads to the pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. There will be no regrets for those who live and die in the Lord, just as our sister Rainwater did just a short time ago. There will be no regrets for those who live and die in the Lord. So this evening, you have a wonderful opportunity to become a Christian by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And if you're an unfaithful Christian, maybe there are things you've been doing that you should not do. Maybe you haven't been coming to church as you should. Or maybe you sin in a way that others are aware of. Now is a good time to take care of that, and you do that by coming forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. Won't you do that now as we stand and as we sing?